This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the March 1st, 2021 For Your Benefit radio show. Coincidentally, it's also the first day of the month and it's the first day of Women's History Month. That combined with life insurance, that'll be the focus today. So we're going to talk about life insurance coverage gaps for women. And who better to lead us than two folks whose careers revolved around life insurance, and certainly for women as well as men. But today's focus is women. And first off, Stephanie Baker. Stephanie is the Senior VP of WEPA's Member Services Team. Did I say that right, Stephanie?
Yes, you did, Bob.
Ooh, okay. And Stacy Outlaw. Stacy is an award-winning marketing exec with over 20 years of experience, and she serves as WEPA's Senior VP of Marketing. And that's, both of you have the jobs, don't you?
We do.
Okay, so, you know, if I step back and look at this, and I did a little reading up, which you should always do before you go on air, and it is the beginning of Women's History Month. So how does this coordinate then women with life insurance and potentially the coverage gap for women?
So Bob, I'll start off. This is Stacy. And first and foremost, thanks for having us today. Happy Monday. When it comes to economic inequality, the pay gap is not only the gap that impacts financial welfare of women and their families, but it's also a gap in life insurance coverage between men and women, which has the potential to disproportionately cause financial hardship if a female were to unexpectedly pass. So there was a survey done in 2019 that asked women and men, what would be the impact of your spouse's death on the family? And both men and women said that their deaths would impact their families equally. However, 67% of women surveyed had life insurance compared to almost 80% of men. So while the amount of life insurance coverage women purchased has increased over the years, it still trails behind men. Men typically have a policy of an average of about $200,000 compared to women who have only $160,000. So this shows that many women don't place the same economic value to their financial role when it compares to men.
So when they look at this, with the female voice being heard better in the last however many years, has that drawn that number up, the number that you, with 160,000, was it a lot less prior to that?
It was. So we're starting to see the gap shrink, which is great. That's the direction we want it to go. But we certainly want to show that it's not equal. And I think a lot of it is just educating women and letting them know that there is this gap and to be aware of it.
So when you talk with a potential new client, if you will, do the women then take a more, I won't say dominant role, or are they more participatory than maybe what they were before to say, you know, what about us? And if we're to pass, you know, who's going to cover that gap? It's going to cost somebody some money to do it.
Stephanie, do you want me to take that? Okay. So yes, exactly. The awareness is key right now in making sure that they know that there is a gap. And so part of our what we're doing at WEPA is really trying to raise that awareness, especially during Women's History Month, and let people know that this is something to be top of mind, especially as you're considering your financial portfolio and including life insurance as a part of that.
Now, being around WEPA for a significant number of years, it's not just life insurance. I mean, that's your product, but it's also the help that somebody would get monetarily if one spouse dies. And so the question is which one is going to be harder on the family? And the answer is, I'm not so sure it's what people think it is. So the female side of life insurance, not everybody's married, but if they're single, they have to fend for themselves. If they're married, roles have changed. And I think you see females more so in the employment in the employment side of life. And then they've got this work to do when they come home. Not to say it's always women that do it, but I think traditionally, probably the greater percent is that way.
That's true. And we also see that women take on the role of childcare as well, right?
Yeah,
so when they take on that role, it tends to make them feel like they need less life insurance, which is a big misconception.
Okay, when you talk with prospective folks, and you're very good with holding meetings and the like, maybe not so physically now, but you still have the meetings online and the like. What do you find that somebody, let's say the women, and you're talking to them, they came in with an idea of life insurance being X, but it's more than X. So what's that factor other than, well, yeah, I have some life insurance coverage, but did they really think through all the needs for that money?
And I would say, Bob, typically they don't think through that. And that's where talking to a financial advisor or representative at our organization will help them go through a financial needs analysis, right? So you're looking at the cost of college tuition, right? You know, so you have to take all those things into consideration, because if one parent were to pass, you want to make sure you have enough life insurance coverage that the family will be able to sustain the life that they've had when that parent was alive.
And with regards to life insurance coverage, the carrier, I don't know that you can do much better than what you have. Isn't it New York Life?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's big time.
It is. Bob, let me add on to what Stephanie spoke about. Just because I think there's a lot of misconception out there that the primary breadwinner or those that are employed need coverage. And so while it remains that most life insurance policies are based off annual income, there are really a lot of other important factors that should be considered. So as Stephanie mentioned earlier, the childcare piece of it. So women who choose to be stay-at-home moms and provide full-time childcare, they don't often consider that economic fallout. So if something were to happen to them unexpectedly and they passed away, the wife's partner or significant other, spouse, whomever, would need to then seek childcare, cleaning, other paid services to keep the household running. And if you were to put a monetary value on this, you're looking at an average of about $180,000 per year, which is a big figure. So what does all that mean? When we're discussing, when you're discussing as a civilian federal employee and you're considering life insurance and you're, again, considering your entire financial portfolio, it's important to realize that there is an economic or a monetary value that a non-breadwinner is still bringing should that person no longer be there as they normally would. So a life insurance policy could certainly help with that.
So when speaking with a prospect, they come in, I would imagine, with an idea of the amount of coverage that they would need. And you're always talking about large numbers here, but they are large because they got to be large, because now we have to replace many things in person in the past. But what do you find when you talk, not that you try to talk somebody up to a higher amount than what they would be comfortable with, but what do they not take into consideration? I remember once, and I don't sell life insurance, never have, never will, but I remember this one individual came in and said, well, this is the coverage that I'm looking at. What do you think? And I said, well, you've got three children. And if you were to pass, that number isn't going to get very far. And not that you're trying to talk people into buying more. It's just they need to know that they need more. So what's the single, the top two or three single issues that somebody comes in and they just don't have a good feel for what reality is regarding the coverage?
So, Bob, when talking to prospects, they're not necessarily taking into consideration the mortgage on their home, right? So you would need to have income replacement for that. Right. So as a general rule of thumb, many purchasers base their life insurance coverage on a multiplier of their income. So it's usually about five to 10 times. Right. And so as women continue to earn less than men overall, that's a factor, too, with the gap coverage. And so when talking to them, you want to make sure that they're looking at everything, all of the household expenses, the retirement income. You want to take all those into consideration when providing that needs analysis.
Yeah, and I'll add on to that as well. So one of the things that we try to do, as I mentioned earlier, we want to educate people, and we want to educate and bring awareness to things that feds may not already know. And so if you want to visit WEPA.org/calculator, it allows users to go in and do a financial quick overview of how much coverage they may need. And it walks through some of those areas that Stephanie mentioned, that again, if something happened and unexpectedly, and you were still left to cover these financial burdens, what does that look like? And do you currently have enough coverage to sustain if the unforeseeable did happen? So there's also a couple other resources that we have on the website as well that help those users figure out, okay, how does this impact me and how can I apply this to my individual situation?
And also when you're at a younger age is when you really want to apply for the coverage, because it's less expensive. So you're getting more coverage for less cost. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Andrew, the ever efficient engineer, it's time to take a break. And who better to do the break than a spot for life insurance?
Life doesn't always go as planned. WEPA provides group term life insurance for over 46,000 civilian federal employees, and has been ensuring the future of feds for more than 75 years. With WEPA, you can find coverage that meets your changing needs and adjust whenever you're ready. Apply for your policy today by visiting waepa.org. WEPA.org.
Life insurance on your terms. Group Term Life Insurance is a smart option if you're looking for coverage that'll help meet your changing needs. At WEPA, feds can apply for up to $1.5 million in coverage, regardless of salary. WEPA offers life insurance protection for feds by feds. Apply by visiting waepa.org today.
Well, welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today, and it's March 1st, and it's the first day of Women's History Month, and we're talking about life insurance for women. And we had some really great discussions. And the spot that we just had, the commercial spot, that adds, to me, if I'm listening, that adds something that the three of us maybe don't cover. And not that we're doing anything shortcoming, but we were talking about the different issues with regard to that and the people not really understanding the full value of coverage. In other words, we need coverage. But when you say, well, I have a $100,000 policy, that's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money when you look at the term period that it's got to cover. So what's the least amount that you all offer, and what's the most amount with regards to a policy?
So it's 25,000 as the least amount, Bob, and it can go up to 1.5.
Okay. So, and the reason I asked that, I just, you know, I went through the same time period as a young person. You know, 25,000, that's a lot. And it was at the time, but it didn't take long to figure out, well, if somebody was to leave this earth early, it ain't going to go very far. And the cost of it over the years has actually, I think, dropped. And the coverage, though, with, again, what you have with New York Life, it doesn't get much better than that. So what do you find, boots on the ground, when you're talking to somebody and they may come up and say, well, I think this is what I need. And they've already told you that they're married or they're not married or they're divorced and they're children. And not that you're trying to get them to buy more. It's to face the reality if you're gone. Especially single parent.
Right. So, Bob, the argument also stands for single parents. If a mother, for instance, were to unfortunately die, who would take over caring for the children? So even if a family member were ready to step in, how would they be able to do that financially? How would they be able to support those kids? You know, things come up as far as future expenses, a college fund. And the gist of the case for life insurance coverage is this: if you unexpectedly pass away, how would your family be impacted, right? Because life insurance is intended to help protect your loved ones from the financial fallout that would occur if you were to die. And so when putting it in that perspective, it's a bit easier to have that conversation mm-hmm. with the prospect. It's a bit easier to help them in that buying decision, to determine what amount of insurance would be adequate for them.
So the insurance coverage for somebody that's married is going to be different than somebody that's single. And even then you put into the mix children. So, I mean, it's a need for all seasons, if you will. The single person, not married, and no children, marriage, spouse, and then children come along. So the needs increase, I think, as time goes on. Do you find that people recognize that? I mean, you all are very good with educating people, but you're not educating them to buy a bigger policy than what they need. It's just the reality.
Right. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we're focused on now more than ever, is making sure that we're reaching out to those members, you know, identifying those life-changing events. You know, you purchase a new home, you have a new child. Those are things that could potentially be arise for a need and additional coverage. And, you know, members may not realize that, right? So you've made this big purchase for this new home. That may mean that you need additional life insurance coverage. Stacey, anything you want to add to that?
I do. I want to come at it from the opposite side, if you will, in the sense that it also changes and should adjust as over time, as you start to age and as you start to pay down your assets, you may not need as much coverage as you did in your 30s and 40s, where you had a large mortgage, you might have had a couple car payments, and you're starting to save for college tuition for your children. All of that is expensive, right? But then over time, as you begin to pay off your home and your cars and other assets, you may want to reduce that coverage. You may not need 1.5 million by the time, you know, you're 70 years old.
Okay. And as we talk about the need, there's always been a gap, as long as I can remember, between men and women. But it's never been an issue like it has now. I'm not saying this is an emotional issue that would cause people to dislike others, but what have you found in talking with the different folks that you do and policyholders and the like, that they have an aha moment? When do they have that aha moment? No, I need more than $50,000 worth of life insurance.
I would say when you're going through outlining what your expenses are, right? And so as you're having that conversation and they're, you know, talking about the mortgage, the car notes, like Stacey had mentioned, the college education, When you're looking at the total of those expenses and then looking at the amount of insurance that you currently have, you have to ask yourself, you know, is it enough? What would happen should I pass away? How will my family be able to maintain their way of living that they have now? So those conversations tend to be eye-opener conversations with prospects that we're talking to, and even members when they're looking at whether or not they need to make a change in coverage, whether it's an increase or a decrease.
So Stephanie, let me jump in. Let me also just mention how our program, the WEPA life insurance program, differs from the common program that most civilian federal employees already have awareness of, which is the FEGLI program. So as we mentioned, FEGLI typically comes or is you have to opt out of FEGLI. So as a new federal employee, you automatically receive FEGLI as your life insurance policy. And FEGLI, you may or may not be aware, but FEGLI caps your life insurance coverage at 5 times your salary. Whereas WEPA, or with WEPA, you can get up to $1.5 million in coverage regardless of your pay. So that's a big benefit for feds, especially those in the DC area where the cost of living is typically higher. In addition, our life insurance coverage is portable. So if feds choose to leave the federal government, take some time away from the workforce to stay home or ultimately retire, WEPA's coverage moves with you. Whereas your FEGLI policy isn't something that you can carry into the private sector if you like to change jobs or leave federal service. So I know we're bringing this up during Women's History Month, but it's truly a year-round call to action, especially for females, to decide what coverage is needed for each situation and take into account the full extent of contributions as part of the decision-making process.
Yeah, and so recent data from OPM shows that the number of women in the federal workforce is continuously rising, right? And so as more women join the ranks of federal service, it's important that they take their benefits into their own hands and fully educate themselves on the packages available to them and what each line item on their pay stub means. And so at WEPA, we're keenly aware of the many roles that the federal workers and their spouses play in the lives of their family. And we know the immeasurable loss it would be if an unexpected occurred. We've been exclusively serving feds, as Bob mentioned, for over 75 years. So we know what's on their minds and what's important to them. We offer lower rates. Your spouse can apply as an associate member. It could cost less than them being insured as a dependent on their policy. And I also would say that we're committed to being part of empowering federal employees with the knowledge and resources and access to products and services that, you know, would not only improve their health and welfare, but their financial well-being as well.
In some situations, life insurance helps women protect the future of their family if something unexpected would occur. Do you ever get somebody that you're talking with and they didn't know that, or that was the button that said, you're right, I haven't been looking at that?
I think it's more so it's the button, you're right, I haven't considered that, right? You purchase the insurance, you take that policy, put it in a safe place, and you kind of don't think about it anymore, right? But then as things change in your life, there's that need, that unrecognized need for additional coverage.
Okay, there's a parallel question with that. As the female in the house maybe progresses through their career at a greater pay, greater rate than the husband, do they then pick up and buy additional insurance? And is there any pushback? I'm not trying to make males sound horrible, but sometimes just talking with clients like that, I go, well, why aren't you even here? You know, because this one's making more money, but you can't say that all the time because, you know, us guys have fragile egos.
But Bob, we've got to recognize that the value, it should be equal with both, right? It shouldn't necessarily mean that the one that's making the most is the one that needs to carry the insurance. That's a real antiquated viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just income when you're looking at the need for life insurance. Income should not be the sole focus.
Right. And the, you know, the household chores, if you will, the schooling and the like. So there's it's changing, but I still think it's probably a little bit heavier weight for the female than the male.
Mm-hmm. Well, just in general terms, typically, and this is also changing, but when you talk about the past as to where we are today, there are often times where the female decides to stay home and be the full-time caregiver. And what we want to bring awareness to is the fact that there is a monetary value to that should something happen to that caregiver. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that people realize how much of a financial impact that would cause should that person no longer be there. So that's really the piece that we wanted to come across.
Okay, so now let's just look at single parents, single mothers in particular. What have you found, I won't say over the years, like we go back 20 years, but in the last, say, 5 to 10 maybe years, have you found then that the policy amount for the single mothers becomes a greater necessity?
True, it does. We have found that, Bob, because you have just that one income coming in that's taking care of all of those expenses. And so you want to look at that and, you know, consider, you know, what are the additional expenses that will happen, especially if you have small children, right? And so you want to think about the future needs. And you want to be able to have enough coverage so that when your family members step in to take over the care for those children, that there's an adequate amount of coverage there to do so.
Mm-hmm. And it's really just planning for the unexpected, right? No one likes to think about the thought of if I'm no longer here. And it's an important conversation to have. And you want to make sure that if you're a single mother, that your child or children are taken care of. But again, it's really just bringing an awareness to the situation to help people better understand how to plan and how to prepare.
All righty. So if I was to, and I'm listening, male or female, I've gone into your website and I've been able to, you know, satisfy my curiosity that I get great answers. But do you find many people use the website first to get an idea of what they might want or what the cost might be? Or did they even know that they could do that on the website?
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Yeah, they do tend to start with the website first. Our website has a wealth of information out there on all of our products and services. And then once they've looked at the website, if there's additional questions that they have, they call in to our member service department, who's there to continue to provide education on our products and services, answer any questions that they have. It's all about building the relationships and making sure that that prospect or existing member feels that they have a trusted resource when they're reaching out to us.
Alrighty, you deal, I would say, is it 100% with the federal employee retiree?
So our target audience is the civilian Fed, both active and retired.
Okay, so what do you do different that has you stand apart clearly from competition? I'm not saying any particular, but WAPA is 100% Feds. And I've been to a couple of those annual meetings and they all have smiles.
We pride ourselves on that. One of the big takeaways or differentiators, if you will, is price. So whether you choose to go with WAPA or you choose to go with another carrier, life insurance is life insurance, meaning the amount of coverage you have. Let's say you select a $200,000 policy. And with us, you can get it for $10 a month. Whereas with a competitor, it might be $15 a month. People may not realize that regardless, if something happens, you will receive that $200,000 payout. So why pay $15 a month when you can get it for $10? So we encourage people to educate themselves and shop based on price, because that really is a differentiator and cost comparison.
And they comfortable with being able to do that, or do they talk with one of your reps? Do the reps sometimes find they understand the basics, but they don't always fully appreciate the add-on benefit, cost versus benefit?
I would say yes, Bob. And when you're speaking with our representatives, we're not only talking about WAPA, right? We're looking at the differences with Fegley, and we're discussing both with you so that you have a way to compare and see the benefit of going with WAPA.
All righty. And with regards to the premiums, you pay X dollars per year. And then at the end of the year, is there some adjustment for that?
So over the past 24, 25 years now, one of the other differentiators with WAPA, as you were talking about earlier, is our premium refund. And that's not a guarantee. But what that looks like is we give our members money back depending on the plan performance and how the year evolved. So this has been done on average anywhere from 10 to 25% we've given back to our membership year over year. So it's a nice benefit, if you will, of being a WAPA member, one in which there are no other carriers don't offer.
Yeah, and I think it's wise too. I mean, everybody has this, whether we're in business or not. We don't hopefully spend every dollar we get, but in particular here with the life insurance is somewhat adjustable. If there was a pandemic, then the outflow is not going to be as low as what it once was. But you recognize that, put the money in, we had a good year, we had an okay year. But whatever year it was, then there is this, what do you call it, premium rebate? Premium refund. Because I remember Shane, the CEO, just he was diplomatic as you can be. He goes, no, it's not that.
It's not a rebate.
All righty. So, and I'd imagine people look forward to that as well.
Definitely.
Years ago. Too. Yeah. Years ago, you know, as a bean counter, we had much the same thing as what you offer your clients, if you will. And at the end of the year, we got a rebate. And I just really remember, boy, this really cuts down the marginal cost. Da, 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 da. And, you know, and again, I'm an accountant, so I look at it that way. And as one ages, that isn't what it once was, but it was sort of nice when you needed it the most early on.
And our premium refund is also a good tool when you're referring colleagues to our organization, right? It's a way to say, hey, look, you know, not only am I getting the coverage for a low rate, I've also received a premium refund this year.
All righty. Andrew says it's time for a break, and we'll listen to what NITP can do for the listeners, and then we'll come back and talk more economics and insurance.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to the final leg of the show. We have about 15, 16 more minutes. And thus far, Stephanie Baker, Senior VP of the Membership Services Team, as well as Stacy Outlaw, WEPA Senior VP of Marketing. And we've talked about economics, we've talked about coverage, we've talked about educating people the need for it, not to sell it, but the need for it. Because it's not a small number. And the best thing that could ever happen would be you never collect on it. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Agree.
So as we head into the final moments, is there anything we didn't cover prior to the second break that we ought to cover heading into the final lap?
So, Bob, I would say we didn't cover what the female federal employee is supposed to do to get educated on our insurance. And while the exact amount of life insurance needed should be discussed with a financial advisor and a life insurance professional, one thing for sure is the life insurance conversation needs to reevaluate how we place economic value on the roles of families. Everyone who has someone that depends on them needs their own life insurance policy. And we don't always talk about that. And so civilian feds can talk to a professional at our organization. They can use one of our free online calculators that Stacy mentioned at WEPA.com to determine what amount of coverage is right for them.
Okay. Do you find that, is there any generational gap that still exists today? And what I mean by that is if you go back 20, 30 years, you know, it's the male that shouldn't have this and the female maybe not, even though they might be working. I think things have changed drastically. But do you remember those days? You're too young to remember those days.
I remember those days.
Bob, why are you going to talk about our age? Come on now. Never ask a lady her age, ever.
Well, to me, you two look like kids relative to me, so.
Appreciate that.
All righty. So, but is there any of that old knowledge, if you will, still in existence when you haven't talked to the people yet, but then they say, well, you know, I really need more than this for me to cover for the family. And you have to very diplomatically say, well, you need it for both.
I think that's changing, Bob. And you have younger professionals that are doing a lot of the research on their own about life insurance. Right. And so that's different than having your traditional agent come to the home and sit across the table and talk to usually the man, the head of the household, about insurance and the different needs. So I think that it's changing now. And it's all about insurance carriers meeting the customer where they are, meeting the prospect where they are, giving them options to choose from.
And what you also do, if I'm not mistaken, you basically give them the keys, not to the palace, but they can go into your site and they can do analysis on their own without necessarily triggering something in the program that they should get a call from WEPA afterwards. But do you find that, I would think, it's heavily used, the website?
Yes. And you can apply right from our website as well.
But you can also you can also do the gaming, if you will, not gambling, but well, what if? And this is what I need now, maybe I'm going to get a raise, maybe I'm going to not. If I'm in a situation, not necessarily like a Fed, but you know, outside the Fed, if they're carrying a policy over, can they carry a policy over? By the way, once they leave federal government.
Yes.
They can carry our policy.
That's what I thought. So they still have that nice benefit after leaving the federal sector, so they don't lose it. And I don't know, have you found that sometimes they maybe increase the coverage as they get closer to the finish line for working?
Typically, we see the opposite, Bob, as you begin to think about retirement and possibly leaving the government, whether you're choosing to go into consulting or going to the private sector. As I mentioned earlier, people typically will decrease their coverage because assets are beginning to be paid off. And so they may not need as big of a policy.
All righty. And but it's still, I would think after a while, the life insurance is almost like a monthly bill. Not that it's looked at as a bad thing. It's a good thing. So why not keep the good thing going? Because after they do retire, they're a little closer to the end line than what they were when they bought the policy 20 years earlier.
Right. And with WAIPA, our whole mission is to provide that protection and that peace of mind. So regardless of what life stage you're in, whether you're new Fed or you're mid-career, or you're closer to the finish line of walking away and retiring and living life on the beach somewhere, we are with you literally every step of the way. And we have folks, especially on Stephanie's team through our member services department, that will help you figure out, okay, here's where I am. And then they can help guide you as to what you may need.
And one of the cool things, Bob, is that we've created our advisor program. This is new, something new for WAIPA. And we're pretty excited about it. And what the purpose of the program is to bridge the gap between the civilian feds and WAIPA. During their purchase and the coverage decisions that they're making, also maintaining coverage, right? And so we're building relationships. That's one of the goals of the program. And we want to be able to provide a personalized user experience. And so when we're going to have a couple of touch points throughout the year, one of the things that we're really excited about is our benefit check, proactively reaching out to our members to do a coverage checkup, to see how much coverage they have in place and how that measures up against different expenses that they may have now that they didn't have before. So we're partnering with our marketing team with some proactive outreach efforts that we're going to have throughout the year. So we're pretty excited about this.
And you're prolific. I remember taking the Metro during, quote, open season, and you had the WAIPA on the turnstiles. You had them on the floor. You had a spotlight. And I was surprised at the people that would stop and look at it. Because, you know, Metro, people just moving fast. And I'm talking about not during rush hour, but, you know, it was easy to read. And it was kind of like listening to today's show. It's easy to understand because you're talking to people at different interest levels, different need levels, but don't know it. And the reality of it all. But it all focuses around on the focus of today, females in need for life insurance. So in the years that you've worked, how have you found when you say, you know, you might want to consider more for the female insurance, and I don't know how much pushback you get if the husband's on it. I'm not trying to treat guys bad just because I'm talking to you all, but how do you get the female then to say, yeah, I think you're right. I never looked at it that way.
I think it's easier now than it was in the past, right? And I think that the men also recognize now that there's that need to have that equal coverage for both. So that's quite different than how it was years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I'll add to that. Statistically, what we find when talking life insurance is men are often the ones to purchase it, whereas women are the ones who really influence their spouse or husband to purchase it, right? So if we can educate the female and let them know that they're just as equal when it comes to having the same amount of coverage for both the husband and the wife, then that's what we're trying to do.
So if somebody was to ask the question, what I'm not going to talk about lowest amounts, but what's the lowest amount of a policy? I understand WEPA does good things for the policy holders, but I don't have a lot of money. Is there kind of a minimum that somebody could purchase with the eye to increasing that as cash flow permits, maybe in the next year or 2 years?
There is, Bob. So it's a minimum of $25,000 worth of coverage, but they can certainly apply to increase that coverage at any time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes people just enter the workforce and they're not at the highest GS level. They might have college debt. They might have debt. And the way that you educate people, and I don't think it's a sales job. I think it's reality. You need this. And maybe you can't afford everything you need right away, but it's like anything else. Take a small step and mm-hmm. see if you can increase that. And you seem to add more enhancements to just a life insurance policy. You're way beyond that now, but it seems like you enhance that or come at it a different way.
So, that's true.
Brag about something you've done in the last few years that really was popular with your policyholders.
Stacy, you want to talk about the member portal?
Sure. So last year in Q4, we launched our member portal for existing members, and that allowed users to be self-sufficient and really update their policy, make changes to their policy on their time and within their convenience, right? So we have a secure portal that allows you to do that. Whereas previously, we're a brand that's been around for over 75 years. And we were really excited to provide this service to our users simply because everyone's doing business in the palm of their hand, right? They're using a smartphone to make changes and to do things on their time. So having this new feature is something that has been very well received. Maybe if we're being honest, a little long overdue, but we are excited about it now.
Well, you know, like everything else, everything doesn't come to mind every day. So as time goes on, oh yeah, we could do this or we could tweak that.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've had great success with our members registering for the portal. You know, and they can initiate changes, and then our member service and member billing services team responds quickly to make those changes. So I would say it's been a huge success.
Okay. So as we talk for close to an hour now, it isn't just going out and buying a policy. As I understand it, and talking with the people that you work with and the like, you're not necessarily a sales tool. You're saying this is why you might want to consider it. Notice I said might. You don't say you got to have this. But, it's the subtleties. And I've been to the annual meeting, and same thing. Guest speaker comes in, Shane talks. Have you all ever talked at those meetings?
We have not. We typically leave that for the folks that can provide we usually have a guest keynote speaker and they steal the show.
Okay, well, you'll have to give them a tape of this show and say, this is why you need to listen. All righty.
We had time to do that, Bob.
Okay, well, I'm sure you don't, but it's in the planning stage. So we got about, Andrew, 3 minutes? Andrew says two. All righty. So final thoughts? We got a whole 2 minutes.
Bob, I'd like to throw out there, because it is the first day of Women's History Month. Just a little known fact that the day became Women's History Week back in 1978. And then in 1987, it became Women's History Month. So this is a great way to educate women and recognize women. And I think this show this morning was spot on. Great way to start out the month.
I was just thinking maybe you could let them listen to the show. You know, this goes up on the web. Now, I'm not saying you should do this for NITP purpose. I mean, NITP, no one knows what it is, but they know what the show is all about. Anyway, just a thought.
Agree. And we do plan to do that as well throughout the month. We encourage folks to check out our website for additional resources during Women's History Month. So visit WEPA.org for more information.
Okay, 45 seconds to go. What do you say?
We appreciate you having us.
Well, I always enjoy this because it's interactive. You know, the usual show during the week is interactive, but this is unifocused on one thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Andrew's saying nobody's going to hear you in the next 10 seconds because I'm going to be cut off. So thank you all for being here, and let's do it again soon.
Truly
Bye-bye.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.